Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, red and white scrimmage is Saturday.
Uh-oh.
All right, that's the family day. Come out to the stadium, watch the kids scrimmage, have food, fellowship afterwards, get to meet the players and the coaches. Just a family event. But actually kicks off the official start of the 2018 football season, man. Already. Just like last week, we was at Ford Field.
Man, it go quick.
Yes, it does, man. And then the following Friday is the Bowl-O-Rama in East Kentwood. And then the following week at home against the defending Division II state champions, Warren De La Salle.
Ooh, they coming down here, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, we got two home games from – two teams from the east side.
Martin Luther King said they're going to step in.
King.
Cass didn't want to come holler at us at all.
No, we've been trying to get Cass. It's like, man, we are not afraid to play anybody, anywhere, at any time.
Yep,
okay?
Right.
If we get beat, we get beat. That's okay. But we want to play the best to find out where we are.
That's Coach Guy. Coach Guy to do it.
Okay.
He'll put you against anything.
That's the mentality of our athletic department.
That's right.
Not just football.
Everybody.
But athletics as a whole is willing to showcase our students' talents against anybody in the state of Michigan or in the Midwest of the United States.
If you think you're a coach, come on down there. He'll throw you in the lava pit. He'll be like, you think you can coach? We put you against this team. So that's what it is. He want to be able to make sure the kids can persevere. And then once they do that, that confidence level is something different.
It is, man.
Man, it makes our girls a lot better players. And they appreciate the schedule we have this coming year, too. So I might not even get into that because it's football season. But like you said, our athletic department, that's what they thrive for. That's what Coach Guy thrives on. And he just he want to see, like, if you say you the best on the east side or middle of the state, come on down here.
Come on.
We'll come there.
We'll go. We'll meet in the phone booth. Don't matter where.
That's it.
You know what? Last year we had to go all the way to the north of Chicago to play a football game.
Yep.
Because we couldn't find anybody in the state of Michigan. But I'm glad these other teams, you know, took the initiative to say, all right, we'll play these big reds because we want to find out where we're at as well. So that's great. Looking forward to it.
And that was a good first game because the year before they lost to them by like a point, by like a last.
Oh, that was
Stevenson.
No, they beat Stevenson.
The year before last.
Oh, when we were at home, right.
Yeah.
We missed the field goal.
The last
goal.
Play, yeah.
Right, there you go. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we had that one.
Absolutely right.
But our corners couldn't cover.
That's right.
Those wide receivers, but then – enter the Dockery kid.
The Dockery.
Man.
Montrell. You talking about
earning your salary. That boy fixed a mistake that we couldn't overcome for years.
Set a record of interceptions, man.
Man, that boy put it
all right?
Yeah, I was like, they're about the same kids, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember Shanks out there and a couple other guys that played the year before, and it was a hard cover for them. They were good athletes, but then he taught them the thinking game.
That's it.
And he changed the whole game. So it's just,
you know, and it's kind of ironic when you think about it. The first game of the season, we lost based on that poor defensive back play,
secondary,
if you will.
Yep,
secondary,
yep.
Okay? And the last play of the game in the state championship.
That haunted us.
The same thing happened again.
Yep. But I do want to commend the head coach seeing that, hold up, I need some help in that area.
I got to find somebody to help me. And that's what he did, man.
And I'm proud of him for that.
To Shane, man.
Yep.
He knows when he needs help.
Yeah.
I've talked to him. He said that's what we need to strengthen our football team.
And that got us over the hump. So I'm proud of
somebody. So I'm looking forward to this season. It's going to be great. And we just want our audience to get out and support our Big Reds.
Speaking of football, I mean, imagine the Big Reds had to cover Terrell Owens and Randy Moss.
Randy
Moss. He's in high school. I mean, that would have been a hard cover for our guys.
Oh, impossible.
But those guys are not. They made the Hall of Fame recently.
Made the Hall of Fame, man.
Them and Ray Lewis. And I just enjoyed the head bust of Randy Moss.
Yeah.
And the tie that the brother wore.
Yeah.
So he went in with the cornrows on his head bust.
Right.
I can see that 20, 30 years from now. Somebody like, why he got his hair like that?
ESPN showed him in that process where you met with the guy that does the bust.
Yeah.
And
that go?
It was great. It was very interesting, man. The conversations that they had. He walked into the room, and this guy had a wall full of pictures of nothing but Randy Moss.
Throughout his career.
Well, it's facials. It was facial shots. And it was like, we need to come up with the facial shot because there's a lot of them up there. The intense, the laughter, you know, all those kinds of emotions that come during a football game. And we want to find that shot that you think depicts you most of the time, because that's what's going to be on your bust. And he had all kind of hairstyles.
Yeah.
He had the fro.
Yeah.
He had
the half braided.
Half braided. And it was like, that, it was amazing, man. It's on demand if anybody want to go watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
E60 on demand.
Yep. That'd be Randy good, Moss, too. That would be good. I'm going to check that out.
And the cool part is like on that day, that morning of the induction, right?
Yes,
everybody
sir.
Stays in this hotel. And you never know if you're going to be called unless you get the knock on your door the morning of.
Oh, so you don't know if you're going to make the Hall of Fame.
No.
But they invite you to the hotel.
They invite you.
So if you don't get no knock on your door, you didn't make it. But you get to sit there and watch the ceremony.
You get to sit there and watch the ceremony.
Ooh,
man.
Some guys that never get knocked on for years. So keep on going. Ooh.
Yeah, man. So they showed him. They showed Randy, you know, getting the knock on the door, right, from
yes, sir.
The executive director of the Hall of Fame. And it was quite a scene. It was quite an emotional scene to see that he knew when he opened the door what the guy was and what it represented. And it was kind of neat. That you don't know until that morning of when you get that knock on your door.
Wow.
It says, you've been invited to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. So, yeah, kind of neat, man. But
that's
yeah,
an extra paycheck.
To those guys,
that's an
man.
Extra paycheck, too, I think. You like an annual check you get.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it, man.
An incentive.
These guys are.
They world class.
Yeah, this is a fraternity of the best of the best. All right, because when you get to the league, right, you're pretty good.
I think somebody. The guy that from the Cowboys, what's his name? He used to play for my University of Miami. He said something about Randy Moss or somebody getting in. And they was like, boy, you don't have no business in about nobody. You was like Pookie. That's what Steven Jackson said.
Jackson.
You know, Steven Jackson had been doing work for ESPN.
Right.
He
said,
what's his name? He played the wire. He was good. He was number
Drew Pearson?
80. Number 80, 88 for the
Oh man. Wasn't Bryant? Wasn't Dez. I see
no.
88.
80 something. He's out. Troy Aikman was his quarterback.
Wow.
He played for the Miami Hurricanes in college. He was good.
Oh, Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin.
And Mike Irvin tried to say something about T.O. or somebody. Steve Jackson went on. He went on Twitter or something. He was like, he did a video. He said, brother, look, if anybody shouldn't be saying anything, it's you.
It's you. Okay, then. Yeah, Michael Irvin. You're right.
Yeah, he called him. He called him the biggest house Negro. I can say that on radio. And he said you like Pookie. So they say you from being Pookie.
Yeah, Michael had some tough days when he was in the league. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
even
he
with had
some tough
pre-retirement
days,
too. When he post retirement, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can you say anything about anybody?
Right. No, you don't. You're saying if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything.
At all.
Yeah. Just be quiet. Unfortunately, our president doesn't use that same.
No, he doesn't.
Type of mentality.
Man, like, what did he say about, he said.
Don Lemon.
Yeah, Don Lemon.
Made LeBron look smart.
Look smart.
And that's hard to do.
And he said they did a pre-recorded interview, so it wasn't done live, so LeBron would make no mistakes and everything. But then I started thinking, I'm like, okay, LeBron got a school. He's a celebrity. So then the first person that came, and he kind of like tried to take a shot, was Jalen Rose.
Really?
Yeah, he came first. But you know, Jalen Rose got a charter. That's totally different.
Oh, in Detroit, yeah. I know about his charter. Yeah, but it's not close to what my man is doing.
No, and a charter, you could pick anybody. You could pick who you want to come to your school now.
Right.
You could be like, I'll take this kid. No, I don't take. LeBron's saying, give me the ones nobody don't want.
Yes.
In his third and fourth grade.
Yes.
Give me those, and the school district going to support what I do. Public schooling, not charter.
No.
So Jalen Rose is the first one I want to take a shot at. And I like Jalen growing up. But I had some friends that get mad at me. I'm like, why y'all get mad? Like, the whole conversation was about LeBron. Jalen Rose brought his school up when he did it in 2011.
Yes, he did.
Nobody wasn't even trying to hear that.
No.
Then he brought up the moonwalk. I'm like, what's the moonwalk got? And the real inventor of the moonwalk. I'm like, what that got to do with the school?
Have no clue.
So you telling me you originator of an athlete starting school? If you want to go back, really go
oh,
far
no,
back.
It's not.
Kevin Johnson, a lot of other guys.
Deion Sanders has one in Dallas.
Yeah, but you don't see him tooting his horn or nothing.
No.
They just like, good job, LeBron.
Yeah.
Because see, what the real brothers think is when you try to be a philanthropist is, hey, if he did it, let me do it in my community.
That's it.
Let me do it in my neighborhood I grew up in.
There you go.
Let me do it in my group neighborhood. Let me call him and say, hey, bro, how you do that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the giving back.
Yeah.
So if you don't, don't
Don't put the competitive spirit in that when you was getting cooked by Kobe for 80, Jalen Rose.
Throwing shade on my guy, man. Throw it's shade impossible. You can't do it.
You can't do it.
All right? You can't. So
then you're not getting to Trump. He had the Trump University.
Trump University, which took people's money, defrauded the government.
That's right.
Was a sham and actually got shut down.
Got people
in misappropriation
debt.
Of funds.
I actually asked some people that had student loans from Trump University, right?
Okay.
Some of them were private loans. They baited them into taking private loans. So some people are stuck with these loans forever.
Right. And he has the audacity to criticize what LeBron James has done in the Akron School District. Not only to say the amount of money that he has set aside for scholarships.
Yep. I remember talking to a lady. She was from the Detroit area. This is about 4 years ago. This lady cried on the phone about some Trump University loans she had got. And she said when she got her package, and it's looked like she said she had all government loans. But somehow they got a loan and that was private. And it was like about 30 grand.
Wow.
And she said they won't take a lesser payment. I said it's like buying a car when you get a private loan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no negotiating.
No.
Uh-huh. You've done that. If you don't do that up front,
they want you to default. The back end. They want you to default on a private loan.
Right.
So Trump University, he knew what he was doing. Let's target the poor people with the Obama money. You know, they call it Obama funds, right?
Right.
Let's target the poor people, the poor communities. Let me build a little school, the Everests, all those little schools. So Trump go in that category.
Yeah.
So then he don't have nothing to say. And then also seen this, somebody say, put LeBron up for the Secretary of Education. You got old girl divorce.
All right.
Why not? What's the qualification? You got to be rich. Okay. He rich.
Yeah. And not be really smart.
Because he's smarter than her. Life experience would go a lot further because they struggling.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
It truly is. So, but yeah, hat is off to LeBron.
Yep. Hat is off. So I know we're talking about get ready to phase into what we have today. We're talking about motivating people to save for their retirement. But before we go into that, the car loans are still out here, Tony.
Oh, you got that. You got that. I got a call today from an individual that was on the verge of tears.
Used car loans.
Realized how they had gotten hoodwinked into a car loan of 23%. So that's like for every dollar that you borrowed for the cost of the car, for every dollar for the cost of the car, you had to pay an additional 25 cents.
On each dollar.
Almost on each dollar. That is incredible. That is ridiculous. And just out of curiosity, I called my credit union today and I said, I'm looking at purchasing a car. What kind of qualification, what do I qualify for? 1.9%.
Yeah. See, I'm not on your, I might get a 4 or 5, but I'll take it.
1.9% interest rate. That's almost zero.
Yep. I say the lowest I've seen is 3%. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take my 25. 25, Tony.
So please, 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 if you are shopping for an automobile, the first question you ask is, what is the interest rate that I am going to pay?
Don't ask what the payment is.
No.
Because you can have a large payment with a short term.
Like right.
Absolutely. You can be paying $500
for 12, 24 months, maybe.
No, at the highest, 36 months, right?
No. You can go a lot longer than that, 72.
I know, but I'm saying at the highest of somebody saying, all right, I'm going to pay this much for this car that's worth a certain amount. Say we're talking about $17,000. You can pay that off in 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Realistically.
I would say the average, but good because credit. Of the price of cars right now, 36 months, 3 years.
Yep. If you're going to get a, like, because how we going to shop? Because I'm not buying no more. I told my wife, I ain't buying no more new cars.
No.
I'm 3 years old.
They sell, smell good. They sell new cars, smell good.
I buy it.
Go in there and spray your car with it after it's been nice detailed at the dealership. 3-year-old car. Spray that new smell in it. It'll ride the same.
And then if you wash it out and clean it out, I remember Steve Harvey talking to his mother. He said, I'm going to give me another car. All right. She said, you got one in the yard right there. Like, I'm going to give me another car. So you got one in the yard.
Right.
But it was on bricks. And he said, when he cleaned that car up, an opportunity came for to get another car.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. So that's the whole point. So don't complain about what you got. Like Tony said, put the new car smell in your car.
Yeah.
Clean your car out. Vacuum it out. Wash it. Clean the windows. So the windows are like you're in a new ride.
Uh-huh.
And you roll. And I can guarantee that smell and looking through them clean windows, you be like, hey,
it's all right, man. Yeah. I can roll in this.
This lasts another year.
Yeah.
And once you keep on tricking yourself like that, and then every year, You saving that money. 12 more months, you saving the payment.
Saving them payments, man.
You're not tricking yourself.
No.
It's just so hard to see. And I see people and I be looking, I be like, man, I say, I wonder what he financed that for. And then yes. I see certain people at dealerships. And I'm telling you how some people go to dealerships. I go to the health hood all the time, okay?
Okay, so you're next door. You're right there.
I'm next door at a used car lot, right? Other day, I seen a guy getting ready to buy a car. Now, I done went in with basketball gear on before after practice with a hat on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I seen a guy go in with no shirt on, pants sagging, looking, shopping for cars. He might as well just been,
You seen him coming, man.
They seen him like, I'm Stein.
He give come. Us free. It wouldn't come. And they stuck it to him, I guarantee you.
Automatically thinking, let's go with the stereotype, audience. We got to go.
You got to do it. Really.
What kind of car you think, I'm going to ask mentor Tony.
Okay.
What kind of car you think he going to look for with the shirt off and the pants sagging and you know, just out there?
He's going to be either, he's going to go for that Charger type. Dodge Charger, muscle car.
Yep.
Okay. Or he's going to go for something on the high end.
Yep.
That he has no business in.
He was looking at a Challenger and a Charger.
Okay.
I seen him. But I was at the health hut and I was like, I was just looking. I was talking to somebody. I said, watch, let's see what he's looking at. So then they look and then they go in the room. I was like, oh, man.
Okay.
So he going to put him in a Hellcat or something. Let me ask you this question.
Hellcat.
Now, even with the best credit in a Challenger and a Hellcat, that's a $60,000 car, right?
Baby. 50, yes.
Brand new, that's $50,000. The Charger with the 5.7 liter and all that, fully loaded, that's at least $50,000 to $70,000, right?
Yep.
Okay? So now you got this guy coming in there. Now, he can afford the car somehow, magically. He might be a rapper. He might be somebody, sports guy, something.
Right.
Now, he buys this car. For one, I know you're in insurance and investments. What is he looking at for the red Hellcat or the orange Challenger? With everything. We ain't talking about no V6 one.
For his car note on a monthly basis, depending on what his down payment is, he could probably be paying $1,000. He could be up to $1,000. Not even, and then you got to also factor in those kind of vehicles, what kind of ratings they were going to get at the insurance company. Because, you know, they do all this.
I know you done did a couple of them.
These analytics when it comes to these types of vehicles. So
the accidents and everything they bring.
Right. The severity of the accident.
Yes, sir.
All right? Most of the people, they know. Through statistics, how many people that drive these cars get speeding tickets? People that are involved in accidents in these cars, how severely are they damaged? How severely is the automobile damaged? So the insurance company has to, rate this risk, and it's going to be rated a high risk just for the simple fact of the horsepower of the car, the driver of the vehicle, and the damage that's going to happen when they eventually do have an accident. So he's going to pay another $300 to $400 probably a month for insurance, depending on his credit.
Just so he can ride around the city.
Yeah.
He probably don't have no gas money to go outside the town.
Nope. No, I mean, statistics is what the insurance company base every risk on, is statistics from across the country. And believe me, they do a very good job.
I'm not knocking nobody. You can afford it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not knocking you at all. But why would you? Why would you spend $1,000 a month on a car?
Yeah. No, depreciate it as soon as you drove it off the lot. Okay? And it's no different when it comes to motorcycles, right? You heard of the crotch rockets, right?
Yep.
So the Suzukis or whoever make those versus the individual that goes in and buys the Harley-Davidson.
Oh, Harley-Davidson, that's you cream of the crop. You're more
you're professional,
reliable person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you probably got your finances in order. Harley definitely has changed their image. Okay. It's more of a bike now.
For executives.
For people that are the baby boomers who and have
family
grown
people.
Up. Right. Families.
Executives ride them.
Executive. And that's what they do. They ride them. Okay. You see a caravan of them. Yep. And they cruising through town or whatever. Versus the crotch rockets like we used to see out on Belle Isle. You know, you probably
Rough Riders.
You can still see some of the videos where people get messed up.
I saw a dude fell off one.
Okay.
Because they had a group in Detroit called the Rough Riders. I seen him fall off one. He slid for about three blocks.
Oh, yeah. When you crank that baby up, man, and you roll
Fort Road. We was off Fort Road in Detroit down in Southwest.
Okay.
And he slid. You know where that's area.
Oh, yeah.
At.
Oh, but, yeah. Down the river.
By the factories and all that.
Yep. Down there by the Rouge plant.
He slid. It was after the party. He slid for three blocks.
Oh, you ever seen somebody that what happens when you slide off a motorcycle? The kind of burns you get. That's why they wear leather. Okay, yeah, leather. The reason that they wear leather is because it's more durable. Because when you come off that bike, if it's just bare skin, oh baby, it's down to the bone.
Yep. So man, so just looking at this, it's just like you said, those high interest rates are an issue. And just I've been reading this book, Tony, and just trying to figure out how to change people's minds. And it was talking about three phases to help people reveal their destiny in itself. And the first phase was you are hungry. You have to be hungry to pursue something. So well, no matter what it is, you got to have enthusiasm to push yourself into fate. Like I'm saying, oh, it's fate is going to happen. Oh, it was going to happen to me. No, it's no. Something that you got to actually have a thirst for and a hunger for and a vision to be able to say, I'm going to be doing this.
Right.
But then fate will eventually win if you stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then number two, the phase was the turning point. You have paraphrased that pretty well before we got on air. The turning point where something either tragic, something happens like a professional setback or a financial failure or a loss of a loved one happens, and that gives you a shift to say, I'm just going to start living my life right.
Or differently.
I'm going to start saving for this differently because you see a change.
Yeah, that's referred to as that significant emotional event that happens in your life that causes you to change.
Now, research says that in order for somebody to change, you got to have that happen to you if you're in the age group after 25 years old.
Right.
I don't care how much I can tell you a business work or if you do this, you make this much money. You won't do it unless you have significant
emotional
change.
Event.
Yep.
Whatever that might be.
That's change. The only way you will listen.
Yes.
And that's what I've noticed when I'm working with people. It's like, yeah, I tell them. But then something finally happened serious to them where they'll finally call me. But I'll be like, man, I done talked to this person like 6 times. But now looking at research, I understand that. So I just got to keep on putting the message out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad investment deal. You know, and it happens every day where people are smart people, but they get somewhat greedy and they see this deal. It's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And yeah. And they pour their life savings in it. They pour their retirement money into it. And it turns out to be either a Ponzi scheme or a very bad investment because they lost sight of really what they were trying to do in their life. They got misled.
And the last one is destiny revealed. So after you're hungry, this significant emotional change happens to you, then you finally like, look, I know the path I'm on. And then when it comes to like, oh, let's try that again. I'm not doing that no more.
Been there, done that.
I don't want to go back to.
No.
And then they have an open mind of doing what's right. And then the example they gave was talking about George Washington's journey and how he had so much failure. And finally he got on a path where he was able to see himself, who he really was, and guide that purpose and find that and be there.
Yeah, most people that you would consider as a successful individual have always experienced some kind of a setback or something that changed their thought process to say, you know, maybe I'm a little bit too reckless in how I invest money or the deals that I take on. And sometimes you have to take a step back and say, you know what, I'm going to pass on that deal. And that's through maturity. That's understanding the mistakes you made in the past, reacting too quick, not doing your due diligence, finding out more about an individual or a product before you jump in and take your cash with you.
So, Tony, today they're talking about trying to change your mind, audience. We got trying to motivate people or workers to save for retirement. So I got some questions for Tony. I'm opposed to him. And just because that's what he does for people, the insurance and investments, IRAs, and show them how to put their money away. So I have some questions for him that I want to ask for him today. Because, for one, the annual school year getting ready to start up. We got like about almost 4 more months left in the year. You're going to get you got your sheet from the summertime or your tax sheltered annuity or whatever you're investing in. They done came already.
Yeah.
The 6 month done came already, right?
Yeah. And you're now 1 year closer to retirement than you were last year.
Okay.
Right?
All right. You heard that. 1 year closer. So the first question is, it says saving in a 401k requires people to do something that may not pay off for 30 years or more. How can workers overcome the desire for immediate gratification? So, Tony, you're on the other side.
Okay.
You done retired. You're a business owner. When you first started and you were in your 20s, or you were your son's age, what made you see the picture of 30 years from now?
Because I understand the laws of compounding and investing. Okay.
At 20 years old? At 20?
It wasn't hard for me. Trust me. It wasn't hard for me to understand.
So when you first walked into it, what did you do? Set it and forget it? Or what did you do? 1% increase every year? What?
Man, from the first day that I got involved in the 401k, I was maxed out from day one.
Man, you blessed.
And I would always, you know, people would actually, in my other life in the plant, they would come to me and ask me for advice because I told them, I'm all in. I am all in. And it was incredible what happened. I was probably living off of 60% of my income.
Man, that's the best
40% I was investing. And at that time, it was Scott Paper stock, right?
Yes, sir.
And the stock was selling at about $15, $16 a share, somewhere in that neighborhood. And they brought this new CEO in, and he drove the stock price up, man, to like $90 a share. So I'm just making money hand over fist. And it's like, I realized at some point that this is not going to last forever.
Okay.
Like, nothing ever does. Okay. But I had made enough money to where I started to become more conservative, because right at that point I was strictly invested in 100% Scott stock, and it made a lot of money. But I also understood that the bubble was going to burst one day, and it did. But I had the foresight to know that I needed to start diversifying after I got to a certain point. So I did. I started taking my money out of Scott, and actually one day it did. The bubble burst. Scott wound up filing for bankruptcy, but it didn't bother me.
Your money was into something else.
Yeah. I'd already moved my money. But it is very difficult to make people understand that if you are working today, you need to be saving for tomorrow. Because once you get to tomorrow, you can't start over.
Mm. Like, okay. I'll do it tomorrow.
You can't start over. It's too late.
Man, so let me ask you, you kind of answered this next question. That was a great answer, by the way. Are there other ways to get people to save for the future? So if somebody say they work for a private sector and mm-hmm. they don't have a 401k plan.
Okay.
So what could they do?
Well, they can do an IRA, which is individual retirement account, which has been around for the last 30, 40 years. And it's basically just what it says. It's an individual retirement account. You can't have a joint account. All right. You and your wife can't have a joint retirement account. It has to be individual. She has her own. You have your own. Okay. And you can either do it one or two ways. You can do traditional investment, which says when I get paid, I'm going to take X amount of dollars and put it into my IRA, and I'll get a tax break for the year in which I contributed the money. Or you can do a Roth, and a Roth says that I'm going to put this money in after taxes. So when I take a distribution, there is no taxes. So the two differences, traditional says when I take distribution, I'll be taxed. Roth, when you take distribution, you are not taxed. But you don't get a tax break on the Roth while you are contributing. Whereas traditional, you get the tax break while contributing. And you can buy rental property now. You can buy rental property and place it into an IRA.
I've heard that you could buy stock. I had a couple companies contact me about investing money as if I'm a real estate investor, but I don't have to buy the properties. I can bank on the people that's buying the building materials, buying the land site, and invest in that way. They're starting to make an investment model like that, where you can take $500, $1,000, and keep on periodically investing like that.
Yeah, there's different models you can use. I think the one that's probably most widely used is that, for instance, tax sale, all right? You pick up a piece of property on tax sale, $2,500, $3,000. You go in there and you put $10,000, $15,000 in and fix it up, and you start renting it out. So now you're going to get the benefit of the write-off for the money that you've used to upgrade the house. And now all the proceeds that come from owning that property is going to be in that IRA, so you're not going to pay taxes on it. You're going to sit there. That money's going to sit there and grow. But you pay all of your expenses out of that IRA account, and that money continues to grow, and it's not taxed by the government until you take possession of it. It is a great product.
Wow.
Real estate IRA.
Yep. I've been hearing about it.
Yeah, it's a growing trend, man.
Yep. And then they even got it where they got it in stocks, and they're starting to see the future.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, well, this person might not go, like a person like me might not go out and buy a house, but like Chauncey, we got this model for you where we got Home Depot, we got Lowe's, we got property that's set aside.
IRAs can be used in a number of different ways, man, as far as investing. But I actually—
apartment buildings, condos.
They implore, got right, in real estate. It's basically what you're investing in real estate. I implore people to even have a, that do have a 401k to also have an IRA.
Yep, and that's what I've been looking at, the alternative.
Yeah, you so need audience, to have a personal IRA.
So audience, I'm just not asking questions for you, I'm asking for myself, because when you have somebody that's versus Tony and been through the whole life of somebody working and being a business owner and doing this with people all the time, these are questions to ask. And he didn't even know I was going to ask these questions today. I just knew I was going to talk about investing and saving. So he coming, he don't have no notes in front of him. I got questions in front of me, but he don't have none. So I'm going to ask him, one more today, and we'll get back to it next week to keep on coming at him. It says, how are employers motivating workers to save more?
Because they'll give them matching funds. Okay, that's the motivating factor. It is considered free money. Most of them have a set point of a minimum. You must invest at least 3% of your income into the 401, and we will match it. The other part that is an incentive is that we no longer have a defined pension.
That's right. I'm a last pension person.
Okay.
I got that and I got the 401k. I got both.
Right. So you are one of the fortunate ones.
Yep.
And the companies are saying, okay, if you contribute 15% into your 401k, we're going to match it. All right. So that is free money. It sounds like it's free, but it is a diversion of money that they would have had to put away for your defined pension that says, when I get to be 65 years old, I'm going to have X amount of years of service, and they're going to give me $3,000 a month as my pension.
And the company stopped doing that because it cost a lot of money for them.
Yes, it did. And you know, it, not only was it the cost of the money, but it was the managing, okay? Because the IRS requires all of these reporting entities that a lot of companies had to hire other companies to manage this fund because it had to remain solvent, and it just got to be too costly. And they said, okay, let's do this. We're going to give you 15% of whatever you contributed in your 401k, we're going to match you dollar for dollar. So at the 15%, say if it is $600 a month, then the company actually gives you $600 a month in your 401k. Can't beat it. Do the math.
And I've even seen some, Tony, like you said, the 3%. I've even read and heard of companies going 3%, 6%, and even the highest 10%. But then when you get hired in, they automatically just give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they have to, because you don't have a defined pension.
Set it and forget it. That's what I call it. Yes. Like, here go 3%. But then they're saying that historically people are looking at, all right, some 85% of the millennials are keeping it, but 15% taking their money out.
Yeah.
That's foolish.
That's the part that I don't like about 401ks, that it is too easy for you to access that money.
But there's so many penalties, though, if you don't.
Well, what happens is on a 401k, if you access that money, you have to pay yourself back. With interest.
A loan, yep. You get yourself a loan.
Yeah, you have to borrow against it. So if you don't pay it back, the only penalty is that it's a 10% penalty, and it is considered income at tax time. Okay?
And it's ways around.
Whereas defined pension, you cannot access that money come heck or high water when it's invested in a defined pension plan. You can't access it until you get the age of retirement or you become disabled.
All right, so we're going to cut it here. Next week, we're going to ask how to build a better 401k. I'm going to share a scripture. It's James chapter 2, verse 36. Faith without works is dead. That's what we're talking about. You got to put the work in. You
got
to have the faith. 30 years from now, I'm going to have this much money.
Yep, that's my goal.
That's it. So you got to have the faith to put the work in today, but put 10% aside. I would say put 10% of your check aside, then pay your tithes too.
Start there anyway.
Yep, 10% at least. When you get a bonus, a raise, or something, don't even count it. Don't even count the cost. Any raise I get, I put it in my retirement. I'm like, I don't even want to see it. Don't show me it. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.